You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And if you're enjoying these Bible studies at all, well, I've got a few of them up there on the website at crosstheborder.org, and I would advise that you start at the beginning there with Genesis. Perhaps you'll hear Genesis in a way that you've never heard it before. Perhaps not. I don't know how many people there are out there like me that are going through the Bible. But I'm sure that it's different from most of what you'll hear anywhere else. We're in Proverbs in chapter 11, and we've got to about, verse 17 here. There we go. Chapter 11, verse 17. The verse of the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Wow. A cruel man troubles his own flesh, troubles his own health. That's it. Might as well just hate yourself if you're going to be cruel to others. That's what the word says here. In other words, he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh, but the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. I always like to come down on the side of mercy. I always take my time if I know I'm going to do something that is going to affect someone else in a negative way. I need to be real careful about those kind of decisions. And sometimes it is needful to do those things, but never out of cruelty or hatred or even retribution, but carefully thought out and knowing that what you're doing is the right thing to do under whatever circumstance. Because sometimes people need to own up or receive the reward of their own works for their own good. And sometimes it's in our hand to have to, turn them out or turn them away or reject or withdraw or whatever it takes for them to understand that. But it's something you never want to do lightly. You don't want any cruelty there, especially. You want to be as merciful as you can. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own soul. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So what are you going to sow? Righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Cross the border into his kingdom and do righteousness. You'll have a sure reward, and the sure reward for that righteousness that comes with crossing the border into his kingdom is eternal life and peace and health and freedom from sin and sorrow and tears and all of those things. We have that sure reward that will be forever. But for those that are the wicked, that hate righteousness, that hate his law, basically, if you hate his law, because one thing I realize is that our Heavenly Father, our Creator, he revealed his character to us through his law. His law tells us about who he is. I mean, think about it. You walk into the law of any man's house, you walk in any man's house, and he governs his house by his law. And it can tell you a lot about his law, about who he is, about the man of the house, by the way he treats his family, because that's his law. His law may be cruelty. It tells you a lot about him. But our Heavenly Father, our Creator, he reveals his character through his law to us. When he says, thou shalt not steal, that tells us about him. Shall love your neighbors, yourself. Wow. What character? Honor your mother and your father. Wow. Our God he's awesome. You know, when I see his character through his law, I am impressed. I mean, I love him because I see who he is through his law. And if we hate his law, aren't we saying that we hate him? If we want his law nailed to the cross, aren't we saying we despise him? If we say, well, his law was only for them Jews back then, are we declaring ourselves lawless? Something to think about. He reveals his character through his law. His law tells us who he is. And it causes me to love him, to want to obey him, to worship him. That's what I see in his law. I see a way, I see instruction on how to love my God and to love my neighbor as myself. That's what Yahshua said the law and the prophets was all about. That's it. instruction on how to love him and love my neighbor as myself. I see his character. He reveals his character through his law. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Verse 19. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to Yahuwah, to the Lord our Creator. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. What does that mean? It doesn't matter. Everyone's doing it. That's right. Though hand join in hand. Oh, we are the world. We are the world. You know the Coca-Cola song. We are the world, hand in hand. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. I love this one. You got to get your graphics, your graphics in online here, and really check out this illustration. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. That's funny. Who said that our God doesn't have a sense of humor? As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. I mean, who could think of such a thing? I could hear, you know, Solomon laughing when he wrote this. You know, just like me now. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know, the world is full of beautiful women, and especially on the TV screen. But without discretion, there they are. They're like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. It's funny, but it's serious. It's better to be a gracious woman. Sometimes I feel sorry for women that are too beautiful in the world because, you know, they become full of themselves. Because they get all this attention and it all goes to their head. You know, be a wise woman who can keep her head and still retain her beauty and be gracious or grateful to God at the same time. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good. You know, it's nice to say, I sit here and I only desire good things. Yay. Hallelujah. You know, praise his holy name that I can sit here today. And, you know, it's not any pride on my part because I have to give him all the glory because I know what I could be and what I would be without him. I would be totally depraved without him, without his guidance, without the effect of his Holy Spirit and, you know, convicting me of sin in my life. If he had not come in and his Holy Spirit had not been working on me, convicted me of sin, just think, I would be totally depraved. I would not have repented of the sin. I would have just dived deeper into it. So I can sit here today and give glory to him because I can say, this is me, you know. The desire of the righteous is only good. Hallelujah. If I could be righteous, and my desire is only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Yeah, you know, if you don't desire only good, well, then you can expect wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. But there are those that are generous, basically, and they increase. You know, they overflow. And there are those that are withhold. They're tight-fisted, yet they tend to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And liberal means here the one that scatters, the one that is liberal in his giving, the one that gives more than is required, shall be made fat. But he that watereth shall be watered also himself, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh, you know, and it's not even near saying selleth it. You know, if you withhold, but blessing shall be on the head of him that selleth it. There's some that in times of want, they'll keep everything they have and not share and not trade any at all. I guess that's the definition of hoarding, if you want a definition for hoarding. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Do you diligently seek good? But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. Yes, how about that? You reap what you sow. That which you seek is that which you shall find. So you seek good, diligently seek good, you'll procure favor. But if you seek mischief, you will find it. How about that? Who could argue with those words? He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as the branch. You know, this is again the contrast that even Yahshua brought up. He says, you know, after these things, does the world seek? Does the Gentiles seek? The nations? He said they seek after riches, you know, the things that they need to live and more, the things that they need to be seen of the world, that they're doing well, that, you know, that give them their identity. You know, it's like this whole thing is that car is you. Or I don't see, you know, people identify with their vehicles. They have to, and their houses. They find their identity in things. And that's trusting in riches for your very life and who you are and the way other people see you. That's who you think you are. That's what's important to you. So he that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as the branch. Why? Because the righteous are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're not seeking the things and the benefit, the bonus, I should say, is that, yeah, all those things will be added to you. All of the things that you need will be added if you seek him first and his righteousness. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. There's a lot of trouble in the houses out there. There's a lot of trouble in the homes. A lot of divorce, a lot of abuse. There's a lot of anger and foolishness going on. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Yes, if the righteous are going to be recompensed for their righteousness, much more are the wicked and the sinner going to be judged and filled with wrath for their unrighteousness and their wickedness. And that ends chapter 11 of Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 12 here. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. You know, people tune out of this radio program because, well, basically, I'm sitting here reading a book of instructions. You know, I've been reading this book of instructions for days, and I don't know why, but I love instruction. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. What does this word brutish mean? Look at the Hebrew and see what's going on here. Is brutish, consumed. There you go. Stupid, foolish, brutish. There you go. I guess that's where they got the name for the Popeye's nemesis, Brutus. Brutish. So if you hate reproof, that is, you hate instruction, you hate knowledge, you don't allow anyone to tell you that you're wrong on anything, because, you know, that's called pride. You're brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of Yahuwah, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Oh boy, I've experienced that. I hate to say it, but, you know, I've had one that makes ashamed in my house. Bad memories. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. You know, to lie in wait for the life of other people. You know, not necessary murder, not necessary spilling blood or doing violence. When you steal the life of people, you steal their labor, you steal, yes, you're lying in wait for their life because the life is in the blood. That's what the scripture says. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. So you can be delivered by your words. The wicked come, they want your blood, they want you to sign the contract. They came to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, and they says, hey, the law requires you to break your God's law. And they were delivered by their mouth. It delivered Daniel into the lion's den, didn't it? Delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. So your mouth may not always deliver you in the way that you would like to be delivered, you know. But it may, too. It may keep you out of prison. It may keep you out of the lion's den, and it may keep you. But true deliverance is forever. Remember, fear not them that can kill the body, but the him that can cast both body and soul into hell. I keep saying that one. You're going to hear that a lot. Because, I mean, that's really what it gets down to when you start to throw off the mark of the world and you start to throw off the identity of the world. When you say, well, I'm in the world, but I'm not going to be of it. I repent of all those things. Then the fear comes in. And then you have to decide who you fear more. Do you fear God or do you fear man? And you make your decision there. Whose kingdom? Who are you going to obey? The fear of man or the fear of God? That's what it gets down to. Obedience is worship. Who are you going to worship? Who are you going to obey? Well, like I said, I'll side on the side of my Heavenly Father because the Word of God says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. You know, that there's no good thing in us. So that's the character of man. If you want man to be your guide, God, if you're going to worship and obey man rather than God, as opposed to his character, which he reveals by his law, which is only good. I mean, his character is awesome. You know, he is wonderful. And his law says, which he reveals his character by his law, thou shalt not steal, honor your father and mother. You know, nothing but good. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. He loves the family. He loves to uphold the family, take care of the widows and orphans. He loves the helpless, you know, not to shed innocent blood. He loves the innocent. He loves the babies and the children and all of those that are innocent and are punished by wicked men. That's his character. Who do you want to worship? That's the question. Who are you going to fear? Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to worship by obedience? The fear of man or the fear of God? It's one or the other. It just comes right down to it. It's one or the other. Yes, and the world will say, oh, fear God. You ain't supposed to fear God. You're supposed to love God. He's a God of love and no fear. But meanwhile, they certainly want you to fear them, don't they? They don't ever want you to not fear the authority of the state, do they? And yes, you know, in righteousness, the state is there to punish evildoers. The civil government is there to punish evildoers. That's the true place under his kingdom authority that he gives them. But once they step outside of that, once they start pushing people and requiring people to break God's law, well, then you have tyranny and you have an authority which is not to be obeyed. If it requires you to break God's law. You know, it's like Peter and who was it, James, preaching on the street corner, and the police came by and said, you can't preach here. And they said, oh, whatever you say. And they went away, and they came back later, and there they were, preaching on that street corner. And they said to them, well, who are we supposed to fear? And they come to them and say, hey, didn't we tell you couldn't preach here? Didn't we tell you couldn't do this? And they said, who are we supposed to obey, God or man? You know, and, you know, they got in their little, need assistance, need backup, come on down, let's get these guys, throw them in the prison, you know, whatever, I have to obey God, you know, not man. Who are you supposed to fear? You know, they say you got to have a number, you got to have a this, you got to have a that, you got to participate in this scheme that caused you to, that's against God's law. Who are you going to fear? Oh, I have to do what the policeman says. Yeah, I could see Peter and, you know, John or James or whoever it was with him going, oh, yes, We can't preach here anymore, brother. Yeah, you know, I know God told us, you know, the Holy Spirit led us here, but we can't preach here anymore. Sorry, God, you know, the police said we can't do what you told us to do. Yeah, right. Come on. It's a serious business, you know. It's all fun and games, you know, for the corporate church to teach these stories to children, but then turn around and participate in this ungodliness and tell their people, their constituents, that they need to obey every ordinance of man. No, you need to obey every ordinance of man as long as it doesn't require you to break God's law, because you're obeying God's law, not the laws of men. If the laws of man says comes along and says thou shalt not steal, well, that's fine. I'm already, you know, I'm already lawful. I'm not stealing. I already know I'm not doing that one. If the law of man says thou shalt not murder, that's okay with me, you know. But if the law of man says thou shalt participate in something ungodly and that it goes against God's law, well, you know, that's not right. I don't have to obey man's law because it's not in compliance with his law. So I don't have to obey every ordinance of man. You know, there is a caveat there. If you take the whole of Scripture, you realize that when he wrote that, he did not mean that you had to obey tyranny and that you had to obey laws that require you to break God's law. And there are so many deceptive laws out there. Of course, they want to deceive you. They have to deceive most people to get them to participate. If they just came up to you and say, hey, you know, to sign this contract, we know it goes against your God's law, but, you know, we want, you have to do it anyway. And here, sign the contract. They're not going to do that. They're going to tell you all about their good intentions and how good a thing it is. And certainly God would want you to do it. They're going to point by point show you how you're breaking God's law. They're going to deceive you. And for all those people who think when the mark of the beast comes, oh, they're not going to deceive us into receiving that. Certainly Satan wouldn't deceive us into receiving the mark of the beast, would he? That's absurd. Of course he would. Of course he would. Whatever he had to do, you know? What is wrong with people's brains if they think that Satan would not deceive them? Yeah. If you find you've been deceived into participating into something that requires you or goes against God's law, all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is reject it, not receive it anymore, and deny it. I'm not saying lie about it. I'm saying deny it. If someone says, you know, what is your participation number? You say, I'm not a participant. Perhaps I was deceived in the past, but I've repented, you know, and I'm standing on my religious liberty. You know, remember that First Amendment? We got to stand, people, while we can stand. And there'll come a time, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, when standing on your religious liberty is going to get you death. But if you can't stand now, how are you going to stand then? That's the question. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.